1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
On Monday, a week from tonight, it's the Bobby Dooley Marathon. Bobby and her husband Steve and all of the unacceptable antics there at Western Estates Homeowners Association will be on display here. We'll be just thrown right out there for your perusal. All the disgusting goings-ons. The Bobby Dooley Marathon, 1 week from tonight, here on the Phil Hendry Show on Labor Day. And our email is phs@philhendryshow.com, and our web address is www.philhendryshow.com. Hi, Phil. I laugh at Frank's linguistic challenges. We're talking about Frank's. Frank is the husband of Margaret Gray, who every time he says a guy's name, he'll say she, like Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum, she sure was good in Pillow Man. You know, something like that. He says, anyway, I laugh at Frank's linguistic challenges because life has imitated Phil here for a long time. I teach English to Finns here, and Finnish is one. Oh, this cat listens to us in Finland. That's pretty heavy. That's the second guy in Scandinavia. We got a guy up there in Norway, another guy in Finland. Something going on up there. I don't know what it is. Boy, all that cold air, all those thin nostrils. Something's a-happening, baby. He says, I teach English to Finns here, and Finnish is one of only a small handful of languages where pronouns aren't gender-dependent. In other words, instead of he and she, they only have one word, han. So it's a huge leap for them to be able to switch back and forth between he and she when they are speaking. Usually, they'll pick one and stick with it. So you'll hear, my son saw moose and shoot it with her gun. Frank sounds completely and impossibly dumb when he mixes them up in English, but here we're used to it. Keith, Finland. Wow. I heard some cats talking Finnish once. You ever hear a language you can't quite pin it down? Spanish, easy. French, easy. Maybe even Russian, but Portuguese. You ever heard that? That's like a mixture between Spanish and German. Yeah, I don't know. It's like habla, deutsche, you know. And then the Finns, man. And guess where I heard it? Where else? Minneapolis. Where they're crawling with them anyway. Yeah, you know, and I thought, just like a Finn to go on vacation in Minnesota. Yeah, it's kind of beachy down here, you know. Where are you from? Helsinki. All right, thank you very much for that, Keith. Send us a picture if you guys are living in another country. We always like to post pictures of our Phil Hendry listeners internationally. Finally, Phil, remember when people were complaining about how all those hurricanes had white names? Well, don't you think Katrina is the first non-white hurricane name? And that's from Tommy Hutzpah. That's the guy's name, I swear to God. Tommy Hutzpah in some town. That's a good point, Tommy. Katrina. Although there was Katrina in the waves, and guess what? They were krauts. No, they weren't. Who was the little girl that sang that? What was that song, Bud?
99 Luft Balloons.
Oh, yeah, 99 Luft Balloons. She was a little German chick. I forget. Nina.
99 Unluftballons. Das ist Uvatakibut.
You know. Oh, forget it, man. All right. 1-800-449. I'm sorry, but I'm reading a book on the Battle of Stalingrad. That's just one of many boring history books I'm reading. Stalingrad, man. You want to read a story? You talk about them Russian chicks being tough. You know what they did? They had a group of high school girls on an anti-aircraft gun. They would shoot at the German Stukas, and then when the tanks came, they'd roll it down and they'd shoot at the tanks. I mean, badass. All right, anyway, thanks for email, and you sent it to phs@philhendryshow.com. I guess that's the only worthy email, huh, bud?
That was it.
All the rest of it was crap.
A lot of spam.
One of the things about emails, and just like on our, by the way, if you want a little political point of view, you can go to georgewbushisgod.com. That's georgewbushisgod.com. That's our political blog. So we get it all out there. And a lot of times I will clean up the comments section. It's kind of interesting because people will spend an inordinate amount of time writing a comment that is about three paragraphs long, and it's basically one big F you. Just in other words, three paragraphs of what a turd I am. Now, I don't know whether they know this or not, but you can tell by the first two words what kind of a comment it's going to be, and I delete them. So the guy spent like a half hour writing this thing. It's gone, man. I haven't even read it. The other thing I've discovered is the whole thing about IP addresses. So I can track who's writing me from what computer. So you got a guy writing you nine different emails using nine different email accounts, but it's all from the same freaking computer. So like on one email, he's Harry. Another one, he's Bob. Another one, he's Tom. So I'll respond, Dear Bob, Harry, or Tom. What are you using the computer at work now? Then the other thing that I've learned how to do, and I think this is kind of fun, it really makes people angry, but I'll change their comments. In other words, it'll say something like, Phil, you turd, I bet your wife is a whore and all this. And it'll say Joey, and it'll say Joey's email address. So I'll erase everything that he said, and I'll write, Phil, you are brilliant. May God bless you and your children, Joey. You know, and I, even though I put a little thing on my political blog, which is no radio groupies. I don't want any radio chit chat. They still try to sneak in there with their radio comments, right? So I make an example out of them too. And there was one guy, and it's amazing how people keep coming back thinking they're going to get on the board, man. When I'm reviewing every single comment before it goes up. One of the reasons why we don't have a comment board on our regular Phil Hendry Show website is because I don't want to sit there and see all this idiotic crap unless we can do it so that we can't, you know, people don't get on the board. So I've asked my webmaster, Doug, if we can do that. Until then, the only place there's going to be a comment section is there on the georgewbushisgod.com. But I'll sit there and I'll look at all these comments. Okay, some of them are really good. Some are really smart. Some are repeat from the same guy. Like, I'll shut the guy down once, he'll come back with something else, then I'll hammer him to death again, and he's still coming back for more. So one time I said, I'm sick of all this stuff, and I just erased all the comments, and that was just a flurry of, oh, so you're gutless, huh? Don't want all those comments, do you? But I got a theory, and this is the good news. When it comes to politics in this country, the people that are really nuts, I mean really crazy, the ones that are posting, the ones that are commenting, the ones that are writing emails, they are so fringe, they think they're mainstream, and they're not. They're just, they're way out on the extremes. So when you take these comments on these websites, you're really dealing with a handful of psychos, whether they agree with you or not. They're just, it's a handful of people that really ought to be on some kind of very heavy medication, just like 3-4 a day, man, the 75 to 150 milligram variety. Because you cats, I mean, some of you guys, not all of you, but some of them are just ready for the rubber freaking room. Oh, yeah? Well, guess what? You can almost hear the emotion. But I do it primarily so I can get that stuff out. So I don't want to lay it out on the show anymore. So I get it out on my blog. And the comment stuff is secondary to me. I don't even know who's going to sit there and read all that stuff. You know? Anyway, that's where it's at. It's called GeorgeWBushIsGod.com. Why did I call it that? Well, take a guess. Obviously, he's going to get people attracted to, you know, they want to see what it says. What I'm going to call it, Phil's Thoughts. Well, there you go. That's going to really drive some traffic. Caffeine Musings. On the blog site that I use, they'll say, today's featured website, Faye at Large. Huh? Well, who? What do I care? Faye at Large. Is that a guy or a woman? A fey guy at large. Or it'll have a guy, you know, Irving Farquhar, commentary for the common man. Yeah. So I decided to go ahead and call it that, and it does. It drives a little bit of traffic. I Google every now and again to find out just exactly how up the hit parade we're going. Who knows? It's fun. All right, so I got a birthday coming up on Saturday. I got a big barbecue planned. Newman browned out on me, but you're coming right, Harry. We got a few people. I think my brother-in-law Carlos is going to show up. Last time he was at my house, a fist fight erupted, so it ought to be really fun. Remind me not to give him any tequila. And anyway, seriously. And then Michelle came back from Mexico. I said, get me a bottle of sangrita. Now, Michelle is Hispanic. She visits people in Mexico. She has friends and relatives there. She came back from Mexico with a bottle of sangrita, which is, I've told you guys, is a very good chaser to tequila. Sangrita comes, and you can't really buy it too many places in the States. And I don't know why that is, especially in the more Hispanic communities. I bet you if I went down to a Latin market, I could probably find a few bottles of this stuff. But in any event, she came back with it, and she said, oh, I took a sip, and I said, what tequila were you drinking? Now, dig what this scumbag had her do down in Mexico.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Apparently, an oil rig down in the Gulf came off of its moorings. Now, that's if you've seen oil rigs out in the ocean, they're formidable. And as a matter of fact, we've got a few of them off the coast here in California. One, we had an oil spill here in 1970 that was the beginning of, I wouldn't say it's the beginning of the environmental movement. It was, I think it's the one that brought it mainstream. It's the event that brought the environmental movement mainstream, when the oil started drifting and then eventually lapping up on the shores here, huge amounts of oil. That's when people started saying, maybe we ought to do something in terms of building these things so that the, you know, we're not getting the ducks coated with all this grease and stuff. Now, it happened down in wasn't Mississippi, it was out in the Gulf of Mexico. Apparently, one of these oil rigs came off of its moorings. I don't know where part of the story is here. Mobile, Alabama, the storm pushed Mobile Bay into downtown, submerging large sections of the city, and officials imposed a dusk-to-dawn curfew. An oil drilling platform broke away from its moorings and lodged under a bridge that carries U.S. Highway 98 over the Mobile River. Yikes. Alabama National Guard activated 450 troops to secure Mobile. Two other Alabama battalions, or about 800 troops, were activated to assist in Mississippi. And the storm came ashore Monday just east of New Orleans, 140-mile-an-hour winds. Was this the one that went through Miami just on Friday night, was only doing 70? Man, it gets out over that open water, and good night. Rising waters strained the system of levees and pumping stations. I got an email from a friend of mine this morning who used to live in New Orleans, too, and she said that the levee broke. Did you hear that? The Mississippi River levee broke in New Orleans. Now, that's heavy. Water poured over levees in Orleans and St. Bernard parishes, and it says here, parts of the city. That's kind of a New Orleans accent. Parts of the city's east side were under 9 feet of standing water. And then, of course, the oil prices went up to $70. Because why? I'll tell you why. Because they want to stick it to us. That's why. It's a speculation thing, you know. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Although, I understand if you believe that the oil companies are just sitting out there rubbing their gnarled hands together, almost like Mr. Potter in It's a Wonderful Life going, George Bailey? You know, man, let's jack that price now. Perfect excuse. And $70 a barrel. So how much is the price of a gallon of gas now? It's about $2.50 here, somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.50, $2.60, $2.70. And I'm not quite sure. See, I hear people say this to me. Yeah, the war in Iraq, it sure isn't bringing down the gas, the price of gas. Do you think if the price of gas came down that people would just think, let's go invade Saudi Arabia too? I bet you would. In other words, the whole thing that's really pissing people off more than anything else, the freaking price of gasoline is coming down, man. We got more guys over there kicking more ass, and I'm still paying $2.75 a gallon. Now, if the price starts coming down a little, I say send more guys over there. Get that price dropping a little bit. You know, that's what Bush has got to figure that out. If you figure out some way to get it below $2 a gallon, around a buck and a half, and you say that's because we open up the main line, baby. It's all pumping straight on in here to the red, white, and blue. Well, I say we invade a few more countries. Be pretty nice. The latest damage estimate by insurance industry analysts project the total insured damage from Hurricane Katrina could be between $10 billion and $25 billion. The upper end of that range would make Katrina the costliest U.S. hurricane on watch. Wow. Well, I'll tell you this much. The hurricanes, when I was driving on my way to Florida back in the early 70s, I was starting my radio career. My first gig was down in Florida, and there I was heading south. And I drove through Mississippi, and I saw a ship, and it was sitting on dry land about 300 yards to my left as I was driving down the coastal route there in Mississippi, and on the side of it said Camille, and that was a hurricane like in 1968 that would lift the boats and stick them up there. So the people there decided to just leave the damn boats there to remind them of what? A hurricane came through there? It's going to remind them to maybe tie the boat tighter to the dock? It's just the way folks want to live down there. But you know what? You can get yourself some beachfront property, and you can live pretty good. And people are building houses along the Gulf Coast. People have got property. Cats from all over, man, are going down the Sun Belt. They don't give a crap. You can live down on the coast down there for nothing. You can go down to Miami Beach and live for nothing. You can just, in other words, especially living here. My friends just got back from Ireland. Do you know how much the houses cost in Ireland? about as much as they cost in L.A. That's what's going on in Ireland right now. There is an economic boom, the likes of which they've never seen over there. And they showed me some pictures. The guys were over on Saturday showing me pictures of this golf trip. Man, the golf courses are beautiful. There's construction going on everywhere. Downtown Dublin has a promenade now, the way 3rd Street Promenade. Oh, yeah, they got fire eaters and stuff and clowns juggling. They got all kinds of bars, all kinds of pubs, restaurants, everything. And everywhere you go, you see them building houses. And the houses are expensive. And I said, you go down to Limerick? He goes, yeah. I said, you know, they used to call that place Stab City. He said, we had a ball. He says, I walked into the darkest alley down there. And the hookers, you wouldn't believe the price you can get now. No, he said they had a great time. Limerick used to be so depressed. How about for a town called Limerick, and it's like Stab City? What happened? What happened between the time it was known as Limerick, the capital of, like, Limericks, and now guys are getting knifed?
Three lousy dreams, you cheap creep.
How'd I get on that, man? I was just talking about a hurricane, now I'm in Ireland. Oh, yeah, so the guys are showing me these pictures, and the bread they got thrown around over there in Ireland. So I finally said to my friend, I go, you know what? Maybe it's time. My people come from Ireland, and I'm not down with this manifest destiny crap. I'm giving it back to the Indians. I'm sick and tired of the whole thing. I'm going to go live in Ireland. And me now in Ireland, here in the United States, I'm a fairly well-paid broadcaster. In Ireland, I'd probably be repairing slot machines or something. What am I going to go on the radio over there?
Right, well, now here's another song. It's old Paddy McDougal with My Girl Camille, and it'll be sung here by the Barnside Boys. Father McQuarters, take it away.
Thank you, Phil. Ah, to hell with it.
All right, we'll be right back. I mean, you know, I could do my yank, you know, like an hour yank thing. All right, on Monday, Labor Day, it's the Bobby Dooley Marathon here on the Phil Hendry Show, and we've got three good shows, you know, set up for you, so be listening for that. That'll be a week from today, Labor Day. My birthday's actually the first, but I ain't taking that day off. No way, man. We're getting Labor Day off. That's good enough for me, all right? I finally decided I'm taking Labor Day off. I don't care because I happen to be labor, and I'm a member of a union. How come the bosses take that day off? You ain't labor. If ever there was a day that a boss ought to work and the laborers ought to get off, it's Labor Day. So I say get all the CEOs in, sit their asses behind these microphones, let them start talking. How come you guys get the day off? That day wasn't meant for you. Well, we work, it's labor. That's not what it is, man. It was that whole, you know, the labor movement. You know, the workers of the world unite, man. It's a whole socialist thing. You cats, you're going to have to just sit down and you have to drive yourselves to work. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Ted Bell will join us in a moment. Ted is going to be talking to us about a product that he has, which is, it's a new item on the menu called the buckwheat potato. But we'll talk with him in a moment. Margaret Gray joins us now from... this is Sven's Cafeteria there in Crawford, Texas. Margaret, how are you?
I want to sing the song, Phil, without being interrupted this time, if you don't mind. This is a protest against President Bush.
I didn't call in that airstrike. If you want to sing your song, go ahead.
I'm here at Sven's Cafeteria. There are a great many people here. And I'm going to be walking among the tables. How are you, dear?
I'm fine.
Isn't that wonderful? We're all here, Phil, to protest President Bush and his war in Iraq. You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you.
Jesus, who put those stairs there?
Oh. Oh.
Did you fall downstairs?
Yeah.
Look, Margaret, if you're going to sing...
Yeah.
If you're going to sing wandering among the tables in a cafeteria...
Hold on.
What?
I said hold on. Give me the phone.
You're going to accuse me of putting those stairs there.
Hold on. Pop my shoulder back in, will you, Gertrude? Thank you. Oh, that's better. No, I'm not accusing you of putting those stairs there, Phil. but I think it's very coincidental that I finally get a shot to sing my song, and I just happen to fall down a flight of steel stairs. Now then, where was I?
You were singing You're So Vain about George Bush.
That's right. Cindy, wherever you are, darling, as I know, and by the way, Phil, we're going to be taking off here in 2 days, a massive anti-war protest, 3 buses, and...
Wait, hold on for a minute.
What?
What do you mean a massive anti-war protest?
The people of America are speaking, Phil. We're on the move. What are you talking about?
3 whole buses, huh?
Oh, I see. It's not big enough?
No, you just said it's massive. 3 buses? I mean, what is that? That's 300 people tops?
Phil, you know, it's not the quantity. It's not the quality. It's not... I forget. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2... You're so vain. You probably... 50 bucks. Oh.
Well, that's what you get for stooping over to pick up a $50 bill.
Some old habits die fast.
Yeah. Hey, 50 bucks. I was watching a Faith No More concert from Australia. Whoever that cat is, the lead singer in that band, he's singing, and suddenly goes, hey, 5 bucks. He just pulled some 5 bucks off the stand anyway. All right, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We've got Ted Bell on the line. I think we have Ted on the line. Let's talk to him right now from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. Ted, how are you doing?
Feel great.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, listen, I want to invite everybody down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Right now, it is in litigation, but we are still serving the buckwheat potato. I don't know why it's in litigation, but it...
Well, hold on. You can tell you don't have to put it all in the commercial.
I don't like it when she starts singing and I'm talking.
All right. What's going on with the buckwheat potato?
What's going on with the buckwheat potato, Phil, I think is this. There has been a major misunderstanding. My restaurant is a family restaurant. It is a place where couples can come. We try to make it fun for everybody. And I had an idea that we would take a potato... And we would slit it open and put some of the famous Ted's of Beverly Hills garlic butter in it, along with the Ted's of Beverly Hills sour cream. And then we would take curly fries, slightly singe them on the ends, and stick them out of the potato. See? So it has kind of a fright wig look. Now I get a letter from the NAACP, and I'm told...
Wait. So it's called the buckwheat potato because it looks like a little black guy?
Yeah. And I'm told that that's racist. Now, let me ask you a question.
Well, come on, Ted. This is 2000.
Well, I want to ask you a question. Was there a guy named Buckwheat or was there not?
Yes, there was a guy named Buckwheat.
He existed?
Yes.
Okay. So I make a potato that looks like him and that's racist? You see, there you go. Can you explain that to me? Because I can't understand it. And right now here on the West Coast, for all of you listening, it's 9:40 at night. And I get to bed early on what I call school nights. And I'm up talking to some guy on a talk show because I got to defend myself because I made a potato with French fries sticking out of it? Oh, God! This is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the harassment of American business.
Well, look at Ted. You're right. It's probably overreacting. But I don't know, man. It's something about having a... See, what you did is you took... If I'm not mistaken, did you take an onion... Put it in a ring and stick it right on the potato so it looks like he's going, oh, or something like that?
Yeah.
See?
What is going on? A guy named Buckwheat lived. He lived and walked among us. I try to honor him with a buckwheat potato, and I got letters from the NAACP. What, are they going to send Al Sharpton over here next? Let me tell you something, Phil. I'm a businessman that doesn't back down. Al Sharpton wants to come into my restaurant and have a meal. By God, I welcome him here. And you know what? He'll get a buckwheat potato on the house.
And all right, so Al Sharpton sits down, and you stick a freaking fright wig potato right in front of him.
You got that right. I'm trying to make a dollar here, and I make a beautiful dollar here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. The dollar I make is handsome. It's good-looking. It's well-formed. It's
yeah, uh-huh.
And what are you laughing at?
Ted, I want to ask you something. Did you use steak fries for the lips?
Yes, I did.
Okay, that's, see...
Wait a minute. What is racist about that?
Why don't you make a freaking potato looks like a white chick or something?
Who?
Pamela Anderson.
Oh, okay, the Pamela Anderson potato. Now, what do I have spaghetti coming out of the top of that? Look at the kids like curly fries. That's number one.
All right.
Okay. So I try, and they love baked potatoes.
Okay.
So I tried to put something together. Now the kids like that garlic butter. The Ted's of Beverly Hills garlic butter. We sell it right here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. You can get it, slide it on anything you want. I don't care what you use it for. You can use it for food. You can use it in the privacy of your bedroom. I could care less. I just want to sell the garlic butter. Now number two, if the kids like the curly fries, which they do, because we have that special Ted's of Beverly Hills seasoning sold out of, okay? And
why can't you call it the Pamela Anderson potato?
Because she don't wear no fight wig. Only buckwheat does.
And then call it the Don King potato.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll get me off the hook, won't it? What a spaz.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, bottom line, you don't know. Good idea. Yeah, there you go. Phil Hendry just said it. He don't know.
Steakhouse, come on.
I don't care.
Hey, your commercial's running.
I don't care.
Go to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Go to Ted's of Beverly Hills, and when you order something, I'll have to get a court order to bring it to your table.
Look at, man, I don't want to tell you your business, but
I'm a sponsor on your program. Why do I have to defend every change in my entree, on my menu, because it's bugging somebody?
When you go out of your way to make some black-looking guy out of a potato, it's going to upset some people.
Oh, give me a break.
Steak fries for lips, the big freaking onion ring for the nose, and the big curly fries coming out of the top of the head like buckwheat.
Yeah, I get it. You don't like it. I get it. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Didn't I tell you to move those boxes?
Sorry, Ted, maybe you got to move your stock downstairs, man. All right, 1-800-44. So as far as we know, the buckwheat potato is not available at Ted's. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Did you know he was going to play buckwheat?
Who?
Bud.
I didn't know it when he first played it. I knew that he was going to play it then.
So you encouraged it.
Well, what's the crime, man? I mean, it's just a...
The crime is, Phil, the buckwheat potato was featured on our menu for 2 weeks. I took out full-page ads in the L.A. Times, the Sunday special, only to have somebody deliver me a court order wearing a haircut much the same as the one on the potato, by the way.
Okay, right there. That's as far as
I'm telling you right now, the guy that got me the court order looked like freaking buckwheat.
Did he work for the county of Los Angeles?
I'm assuming, Mr. Hall, you know. Yeah, of course he works for the court system.
And they got a cat running around on Sundays with a fright wig.
Yes! Did you have anything to do with that?
How would I have anything to do with that?
Because you got that buckwheat theme. A guy's delivering him a court order with a Don King fright wig. That's all I want to know. What's going on?
There's nothing going on, man. We were just having some fun.
Then play his freaking commercial and quit screwing around.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on.
Come on down to Ted's. You know what? I don't feel like it. Come on, Ted. You paid the time. No, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't feel like it. See what you did?
I didn't do anything.
You did it. I want to go home.
Ted's. We want to put our meat in your...
Do you want to say anything, Ted? No, I don't. I don't want to say anything. I'm depressed.
Mr. Bell, I'm sorry.
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. So that's the end of that. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Frank Gray joins us on the hurricane in New Orleans. Frank, you had a law practice down there before you moved to Hollywood, right?
I did, young man. I had a legal practice in the New Orleans area. Matter of fact, I know Jim Garrison very well. She was, at that time, she was the district attorney, but she had not started her investigation of the Kennedy assassination.
Who had?
Jim Garrison. Hello.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's right. So Jim Garrison had not yet. And then you left New Orleans, and you came to Hollywood, right?
I left. I left New Orleans, and I came to Hollywood, and of course I met Margaret, and he's been with me ever since. He's a terrific wife. A little loud sometimes, but boy, has he got a great butt. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. I'm sorry. What did you live through any hurricanes down there?
Oh, well, we had a few hurricanes, but I can tell you, when Camille came through back in 1968, you had mentioned Camille. He was a son of a gun, because Camille, just as you indicated, young man, lifted the boats and carried them inland some 3, 4, 5 miles. Now, this Katrina, he is probably clocking about 170 miles an hour. He is one hell of a woman. And Katrina, I think, you know, and I don't mean to say that that's a good thing, but when you get, let me tell you the reason why they give hurricanes female, or used to give hurricanes female names. As you know, now they alternate between female names and male names.
Yeah, I know. But wasn't it something from the women's movement?
Well, it was a thing from the women's movement, and I remember Patricia Ireland making a speech and saying basically as women they wanted to have some equal time everywhere, including hurricanes. So he made this speech saying he was a woman who was outraged and wanted more female names for hurricanes. So he got what he wanted, and the National Weather Service started putting these female or started putting male names on them as well as female names. So now you've got Katrina, and he's going doing his thing. Andrew went through Miami, and she did her thing. So, but Patricia Ireland, boy, he had some. You know, for a woman, he really had a pair on him. What are you laughing at?
Nothing, nothing. So, can I speak with Margaret for a minute?
Why do you always want to speak to my wife, huh? You got something for him?
No, I just want to talk to Margaret for a minute.
Boy, if you're laughing at me for what I think you're laughing at me for.
Why would I be laughing at you?
Did you hear I took an 8 on that hole today?
No, I didn't.
You heard I was Riviera, I took an 8.
No, I didn't know that.
So I just made a big announcement and nobody knew it.
No.
Here. What's wrong?
Is he's doing his gender confusion.
I told you he'll do that, yes. It doesn't take a... You know, Phil, you don't need a rocket science degree to figure it out. When he's talking about women, he'll say he. When he's talking about men, he'll say she.
Okay, give the phone back to him.
He wants to talk to you.
Where's the ice? Oh, that's right. So anyway, Katrina, well, he's a tough one. Now,
hey, what do they call ships? Do they call ships,
he.
Right.
Because they're women.
Right. All right, that's all I wanted.
What has that got to do with anything? What's that got to do with the price of tea in China?
That's okay, Frank. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And the only other news to report is it's one of those really sketchy rumors that was afoot this morning, but it was positive about the television pilot that I was involved in last spring and is still alive, called Fillmore Middle. And the latest we heard today is that it's moving forward as a very, very strong contender for a pickup mid-season on NBC. So after, what has it been now, 3-4 years doing TV pilots? I might actually get my kisser on TV. That means an extra 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so many a year. I can add that up. 2, carry the 4, 6. Oh, I can retire by January. So I'm going to do a Stephanie Miller. I'll do 3 weeks on TV, quit my radio gig, and then be unemployed. It'll be great. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.